I'm going to bring you a lesson today on prayer. I started out this year with this verse, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 and verse 6, and I'm reading it in the NIV. For this reason, Apostle Paul said, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. That fan in the flame. You know, I was talking about the fact most of the first half of this year was zeroing in on this verse, because a lot of Christians, the flame hasn't, or the fire hasn't gone out, but it might have gone down, burned down to just a glowing ember. And it takes oxygen, it takes fanning in the flame, and prayer is the oxygen that causes the Spirit of God in you to come back into flame. And we need that fire. Somebody say fire. Fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. You want it to burn bright. Apostle Paul said, this gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So I started out the new year, some of you might remember, with a series on prayer. And my first message was pray more. Say it with me. Pray more. We just have to pray daily. Talk to God and listen to God. Pray more. And then I talked about pray out loud. Let's say it. Pray out loud. You know, the devil wants you to just pray those silent prayers. But when you pray out loud, you're making declaration. And you can speak to the sickness. You can speak to the enemy and say, you're unauthorized to operate in my body. This is the temple of the living God. I put the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of my home. You're unauthorized. And then when you really want to get serious, pray with the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We talked about that. I was just talking about our children's camp and youth camp. Children and youth are so much easier to lead into the baptism in the Holy Ghost and with the praying in other tongues. And we were so amazed in our children's camp here how these little children, without much instruction, they said they wanted the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and they wanted to pray in other tongues, the language of God. And we said, you come to the front. They filled this whole place here with little children. Said, raise your hands. They raised their hands. And we started touching them, and they started just going down under the power of God. And then I saw them just laying there, not saying anything. And I was walking up to them whispering, just open your mouth and speak. They opened their mouth and started speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Wish it was that easy with adults. But our mind gets in the way. But this is so important, to pray in the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about praying for others. In as much as you've done it unto these, the least of these, you've done unto me, says the Lord. It gets God's attention when you take an interest in others instead of just me, me, me. Well, today I want to talk to you about praying with expectation, because that's what attracts God. Faith is what attracts God. When we pray like we believe, then we will have whatever we say that we believe. It's all through the scripture. God is moved by our faith. So I want to talk about this idea about praying with expectation. As we're mid-year now, we're going to make a mid-year revival of this ministry of prayer. You saw in the announcements, and at the end of the service, there's a table in the back. You can meet Jennifer. Is going to lead, start a new life group, praying and walking, prayer walks around the campus. So you can get your exercise and you can pray at the same time. Yay! Hallelujah. You don't need a membership at Crunch. Just get out and do more prayer walking. Amen. Even so, Crunch, it's a goodbye. Anyway. So if we're going to talk about prayer, we got to talk about Elijah. Elijah, the Bible says, I'm talking about the man who prayed fire from heaven, prayed rain after it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. He prayed, but he didn't just pray ritual, obligatory prayers. And that's what we want to learn about. What is this prayer that puts a demand on God? James 5:17 says Elijah was a man just like us. What? a man that could pray fire from heaven, but he prayed earnestly, the Bible says, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Well, this is in James. If you want to read about Elijah, you got to go to 1 Kings chapter 18, the epic story about Elijah. In this verse here, 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said, "There is the sound of an abundance of rain." Well, what do you know? Do you hear a sound? We hear that sound a lot in Florida. The thunder and the lightning about every afternoon. But I'm talking about a spiritual sound here towards the end of this story. I mean, the fire had already come and the prophets of Baal had already been killed, but it hadn't rained. But Elijah, he heard the sound. I want every believer to get to the point where you're hearing a spiritual sound. I'm declaring that God's doing something in the world today. And if you can hear it, you're almost there. After you can hear it, then you can pray it in. You can declare it in. But faith requires you first to hear it. And faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So we're going to get that today. Your faith is tied to your expectation. I'm asking you today, what are you expecting? And I want to say, expect a miracle. In Elijah's day, rain meant harvest. We need harvest. We need spiritual harvest. We need an awakening. We're praying for revival. We're praying for the former rain and the latter rain. This ministry was started with the former rain. The beginning of the charismatic movement, a little Mennonite church up in northern Minnesota that my parents were pastoring. I was 1 year old, crawling around on the floor, and the Holy Ghost fell in a revival that resounded. Bring it, Lord. Psalms 29. God says, "My voice will be heard in the thunder and in the lightning." Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to remind you of that because I believe this church, revival is our heritage. It's our inheritance. We've heard many prophetic words. It's going to come. So we're expecting a last days revival. And God says, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Well, we got to back up in this chapter. Elijah had some battles to win before he could pray in the rain. I want to go back and I want to give you these biblical principles. I'm not going to take a lot of time going through the story because you know it. But basically, Elijah had to recognize the condition of the world around him. When he was out trying to declare the word of the Lord, the people were complacent, oblivious, uninterested in God. And we pick up this story. If you just back up, I'm going to go to 1 Kings 18. I wish you would too. If I can find it, it was here earlier in my Bible. 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. There it is. Yeah, right where I had my business card marker. But if you go back to I'm going to pick it up at verse 21. Elijah, he went before the people. He knew that they were apostate. He knew they were worshiping other gods. We're seeing that in the world today. In America, mostly we worship the God of prosperity. We're mightily blessed, but let's not forget where that prosperity came from. Amen? This country was originally dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Elijah said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "Let's have a contest. Let's have a contest between me representing the God of Israel and the prophets of Baal representing the God of God Baal. He said, get two bulls for us. Then let them choose one for themselves. Let them cut it in pieces and put it on the wood and not set it to fire. I'll prepare another bull and put it on wood and not set it to fire. And then you call on the name of your God. And I will call on the name of the Lord God. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the people said, what you say is good. I think that's interesting because today we live in a society that doesn't want to hear what church you attend, don't want to hear your doctrine. But if the creator of the universe, the higher power, God, is known to you and has done something in your life, they want to see the power of God manifest. They want to see a testimony. They want to hear a firsthand account of what God has done in your life. Well, this story begins there. And I want to help you move quicker through this story as we talk under this title, Praying with Expectation. I'm going to give you what I see in this quickly as seven principles of prayer with expectation. And the first one is you've got to put your faith or allow your faith to be tested. See it as the hand of God working in your life. Don't get comfortable with status quo and just the way it is, but put your faith to the test. Don't just pray ritual, routine prayers out of obligation. There's no faith in that. But expect a miracle. Expect that you're going to get through. You're going to see a victory in whatever it is that you're being tested in. See the value of tests and trials. 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to ask you, are you going to keep praying? Are you going to keep believing? Are you going to keep expecting that God's going to bring that breakthrough? That's why when we sing, we're saying now. It's going to happen now. Not God's about to do something, but he's doing it now. And I'm a part of it. You know, I was so blessed and challenged yesterday by Brother Jim Hooks. Where are you? You're in here somewhere. There you are. Brother, you blessed me. Here's a man who has been visiting his dear wife, who's been in a coma for almost 5 years in the hospital, now in a rehab center, but with very little response from her. He comes and sits with her a couple hours a day, just making declaration and believing that she's going to get up and that she's going to be sovereignly healed by God. And I tell you what, his faith has been put to test, but I can tell you he has heard the sound of an abundance of rain. And that's what allows him to pray. And it was amazing to me yesterday. I saw the fingerprints of God because I was just going to stop in and visit his wife. And as I'm walking through the parking lot, he drives up beside me, Jim. And I said, oh, Jim, you're here. I said, are you coming or going? He said, I'm coming. I said, okay, great. Then we'll be able to pray together. So I was with him for about an hour or so. And just to hear him pray, and we sang and prayed and made declarations, and you shall live and not die. I was holding one hand, he's holding the other. And when we started singing, you know, her hand was moving. He's got a way to communicate with her eyes. But man, I'm telling you, if there's an example of somebody who has just stayed and stood on his faith and keeps declaring and keeps praying, and I'm telling you, I felt something in that room. I was looking for it to happen right there. We walk her out of there together, you know. But however long it's going to take, we're believing. I want you to believe with us. Let's stand together. I don't mean stand here, but let's stand in faith with our brother Jim to see that come to pass. But he's putting his faith to this test. And I'm going to tell you, it's time for us to rise up and see what God's going to do. Now, to do that, and Elijah had to do this, you have to define the battle. You want to stop blaming people. You want to stop blaming circumstances. And you want to target the devil who's come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Elijah targeted those false prophets, you know, and he called them out, you know, and said, let's make a contest. I'm calling you out. And basically he was saying, let's cut the bull. And you make an altar, I'll make an altar. And let's see whose God will answer by fire. And the people said, this is good. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know that's true, but against powers. And I'm going to tell you, you know, many times when we get to an election time, we say, well, what's my vote going to count? Well, I think we should vote. Every Christian should vote. Let your voice be heard. But we need to pray. And I like to pray when I'm going to vote, when I'm going into voters' booth. I'm praying in the spirit as I'm already prepared as to who I'm going to vote for, but I'm praying over that ballot. Hallelujah. Praying in the spirit. Feed it into that machine. You know, multiply and prosper in the name of Jesus, you know. And God is hearing and answering our prayers. We see it happening. We're hearing the sound. So what else do you need to do if you're praying with expectation? I want to say this, move towards the Lord. There's a place here in scripture where Elijah said to the people, come closer to me. Verse 30, Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. What are you doing to move towards God? If you're praying for something, you've got God's attention. Now you want to move towards him. And I'm going to say, rebuild the altar of the Lord, whatever that means to you. But look what Elijah did. He took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes. And with those stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Make some declarations of your faith. Build an altar of prayer in your home. Do some things that would represent that you're moving towards God. And then it says he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. You ever heard of seed? Elijah sowed some seed. He made the trench to hold that seed. You know what that seed was? It was water. In a time of drought, what would be more valuable than money? Water. And so he calls for 4 barrels of water to pour over the altar. He was making an offering of a sacrificial offering of water. Can you see the people going, oh, what? Why would he be wasting all that water on the altar? Plus, a fire can't burn with water. It was a sacrifice of seed, an offering. When you're moving towards God, you want to sow seed. Never forget, one time I had the privilege of walking with the late, great Oral Roberts when I went to Oral Roberts University. And I was in his office asking him some questions and made an appointment with him, and it was possible to do if you went to school there. And I was asking about building the university. And he said, Phil, here's what Evelyn and I used to do before any of these buildings were built. He said, we'd go out in this empty field and we'd walk and pray in the Holy Ghost. We'd pray in the Spirit. And then God would give us insight, and then we'd go sow a seed. Seed faith, you know, or Robert, seed faith. And he was just real big on that. He would make a sacrificial offering to what he was believing God would do. And then he arranged the wood. He cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. And then he said, fill 4 large jars with oil. Do it again. Do it again. 3 times. You know, 12 is the number of governmental perfection. 12 tribes, 12 disciples, 12 gates of Jerusalem, 12 months. 12 is a number that you see a lot of times for order. This step, moving towards God, is bringing your spiritual life into order. We live in a world of disorder. So what are we going to do to move towards God? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Don't you love that? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Elijah repaired the temple. He made sacrifice and he prayed. You know, Jeanette and I, we had a great time teaching love from the love chapter on Wednesday night. 16 characteristics of love. If you missed it, go pick it up online. And we exposed ourselves for some of the challenges we had in marriage. Now, don't worry. It was a long time ago. We've been married 48 years. How did that happen? 48 years. Yeah. But we were talking about that. And, you know, I remember, Jeanette, when we go through difficult times, you know, I was always praying, oh, God, change Jeanette. Oh, God, change Jeanette. Until I finally discovered God wanted to change me. Me was me problem. Not Jeanette. And as we've had the opportunity to counsel, you know, thousands of people over these years, I always like to draw a triangle, and I put God at the top and put the husband, the wife on the other corners, and show them that if you both pursue God, the closer you get to God, automatically the closer you'll get to one another. And that's really what happened to us, but that's another message. But I really want to have you camp at this spot. If you have set down the torch and it's time, you know, to get back in the battle, then move towards the Lord. Here's the next step. Listen for the spiritual sound. I'm going to lay hands on some of you today that just need to hear a sound. You know, when Elijah heard the sound of an abundance of rain, there was not a cloud in the sky. There was no evidence that he was going to get an answer. But he heard something. I call it the fingerprints of God. To see something, to see some evidence that the waters have been troubled. It's time to jump in. To see some evidence that God is on the move. I call it looking for the fingerprints of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I don't have to see it. And he's still working. He's working. Even though I don't see it, he's working. Even though I don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. He never stops. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. I like to say, my God, that is who you are. My God. Woo. Go God. I always like to say that too. Go God. Here's another verse, Romans 10:17. Read it with me. Faith comes by hearing, by the word of God. Every time that I preach, I'm putting verses up there to impact your eye gate. You're hearing it with your ears. We're declaring some of it with our lips. When you walk out of this place every time, I'm asking God, let them see the fingerprints of God. Let them walk in authority. Begin praying with expectation. You know, when Elijah made the declaration, I hear the sound. He wasn't just thinking about it. Now I got to get to the next step. I just want to show you this picture here. I like this picture, the fingerprints of God, that God's at work in your life. He's touching your life in ways that you don't know, just little things. I've told you before, God gives me parking spots right in front of the door. Sorry about that. I'm the one that's ahead of you, that's going right into that spot that you thought was going to be yours. But God's looking out for one of his favorites. And I always thank him. Jeanette and I, happened to us, and so we just stopped and thanked the Lord a little bit. The car behind is going, what's going on with them? Thanking the Lord that they got the spot, right? Hallelujah. So you want to declare what you're hearing. The best thing you can do when God speaks to you on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night through the Word of God, is for you to declare it as soon as you can. If you got a touch from God and you feel any bit of improvement in a healing that you've been asking God for, declare it. Say, well, I didn't get it all yet. Declare what you got. Elijah, not a cloud in the sky. And he said, I hear this. There's a sound. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. Well, sure enough, Elijah, he saw fire come from heaven, you know, and burn up. The Bible says it licked up the stones and the water and everything. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, oh God, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God. Let it be known today. That's how he prayed. It's going to happen today, right now. There's a God in Israel, and that I'm your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you're turning their hearts back again. That's why God wants you to become a sign and a wonder. That's why he wants to heal you, deliver you, prosper you, not so you can heap it among yourselves, but so that you can declare the glory of the Lord. It's because of the God that I serve. And we're moving deeper into that time where the world is desperately looking for people, genuine sons and daughters of God, that are walking in the power of God. After Elijah prayed that prayer, you look at verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. And if you didn't know what the sacrifice was, he says, and also licked up the water in the trench. Remember the trench that he dug for the measures of seed? Yeah. I should have received the offering after this message here today. And I like this. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate on the ground. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. See what a miracle in your life and the blessing of prosperity upon your life will bring to the world around you when prices are going up and inflation is on everybody's mind. But the people of God are strong and are doing great exploits, not to heap it on ourselves, but to minister to the needs of others and to be a blessing throughout the world. I'm preaching better than you're responding today. Just saying. You know, I'm passionate about this because I really believe the church is the spirit of Elijah for the second coming of Christ. And maybe I need to preach that again. John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah for the first coming of Jesus. In Malachi, the last verse in the Bible, it says, before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and that great day of the Lord is when Jesus came as a baby in a manger. The terrible day of the Lord is when he's going to come with fire in his eyes and a sword in his mouth to deliver judgment. But while we have time, we can preach the good news. Hallelujah. We can preach the good news. You know, I had an opportunity last week, or actually this past week, to do a funeral for my daughter Amy's coworker, who had a tragic loss of his wife the week before. I haven't told you this yet, have I, in this service? Sometimes when I'm two services, I lose track of what I've said. But I want to tell you this story because I saw the fingerprints of God. It was so amazing. Of course, my daughter Amy asked him, because they didn't go to church, asked him if he would like me to do the funeral. And he thought about it and said, yes, I would. So Amy calls me and said, yeah, I'd be happy to. And so I called him, started talking to him. I started seeing the fingerprints of God. It was amazing. First of all, come to find out that his wife, what happened was, and I'm going to tell you exactly, but in just an outpatient procedure, his wife died on the operating table. He was supposed to come pick her up, you know, in an hour. Instead, they called him and said, come in and talk to the doctor. And they informed him that his wife had a heart attack on the operating table. and he's devastated. He's 3 or 4 hours in the room grieving with her. And since he works close with my daughter Amy, she wanted to take care of him. She was immediately over to his house with food and with prayer. Anyway, I'm on the phone with him, talking with him. And first of all, I discover he's the son of a preacher. Check that box, fingerprints of God. You know, I relate to that. Come to find out, his wife was almost exactly the age of my wife, Jeanette, which I'm not going to say because she looks so young, you know. And then I find out that his mother, who's also grieving, her name is Jeanette. So all these boxes, red, I'm starting to hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I'm trying to help you get sensitive to seeing these things, seeing the numbers, yes. You know, seeing the circumstances, which are not coincidences. They're God incidences, because it increases your faith and you can have more authority to start declaring. And then he starts saying, yeah, my wife and I, you know, we did a lot of diving. Well, I'm a certified diver. Check that box. Understand that. And we lived for some years in Roatan. I said, Roatan, Honduras? He said, yeah. I say, I know that place. It's one of our major headquarters for our mission in Honduras. And I said, I've been there more than 50 times. He said, what? Where? I said, Oak Ridge Key. He said, what? That's where we live. You can only get there by Cayuca. I said, I know. He said, what part of the Key? I said, we're right on the tip there where you can walk out in knee-deep water for about 50 yards, and then it drops off 300 feet into the most beautiful diving reefs, the second most popular place in the world. He said, my wife and I dove there a lot. I said, you were a stone's throw from our mission headquarters, our church, where, by the way, I preached my first sermon in that church. Checking all these boxes, I'm going, hallelujah. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Well, I had the opportunity to minister to this man and to minister to a whole huge crowd of people that came out for this funeral, and to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And to restore him. In fact, he might be moving to Bradenton. You know, I mean, that's what's on his mind right now. Check the fingerprints of God. So I'm telling you, that's where we are. We are the spirit of Elijah, preparing the way for the second coming of Christ. And our lives are going to become more and more supernatural. Aren't you glad? You know? So I got to wrap this up here. So I'm going to bring it to a close, which means absolutely nothing. But declare what you're hearing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, dear Linda Moorhead has been texting me and calling me. She's been in the hospital. She's not been in church for, I guess, a couple months, in and out of hospitals. They're sending her to Tampa. You know, they're not giving her much hope, but she's such a woman of faith. You know, she keeps declaring to me, I'll meet you at the altar. In other words, I'll be back to church. And this week she came to a very difficult place, and she almost lost hope. She was talking about being at a breaking point. But she kept declaring, and God turned it around. Now she's going to be out in a couple days. And what a testimony she's going to have. Because on many occasions, the doctors have told her, that's it. You know, no more, nothing more we can do. And they're sending her to other hospitals because nothing they can do. But she keeps saying, meet you at the altar. She's going to be there. So what happens? You start declaring what you're hearing. I'm talking about what prayer with expectation looks like. You start declaring it. I hear Jim declaring it. She's coming up out of that bed. Hallelujah. And what you're doing is you're praying until something happens The acronym is PUSH. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. And here's where Elijah was at, where we started when he said, I heard the sound. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, but the Bible says that Elijah got down, put his head between his knees, like in the birthing position of a woman giving birth. He had something in his womb. It was faith to believe that God was going to hear his prayer. So here's Elijah. I don't know how they got that picture way back then, but I got a hold of it. And there he is. He's pushing, praying until something happens. And then he's probably on his face too. But I just want this to encourage you that here's Elijah, what it looks like. He's sending his servant, now go and look for the cloud. I'm looking for some indication. You know, has any of my pain gone away? He comes back, no. So he prayed some more and then sent him to look again. Seven times he's sending his servant to go look for the cloud. That's prayer with expectation. We pray because we have an objective that only can be reached or won or conquered or delivered by prayer. And like it in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus was talking about this widow woman, he said he told this parable for the purpose of telling people that we should always pray and not give up. And this widow woman, she pestered this unjust judge so much to get justice from her adversaries. And he said, though I don't fear God or care about men, because this woman pesters me so, I'm going to give her what she asked for. And Jesus said, just like your heavenly Father, although he's not unjust, he's looking for people that will be perseverant in their prayer. When I return to earth, will there be faith on the earth? And we're the ones that are delivering that. Amen, somebody? Amen. Verse 44 says, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is at hand. The hand of God. Oh, I like this. The size of a man's hand. The servant saw a little cloud, but Elijah saw a rainstorm. He saw a rainstorm, a drought-busting rainstorm. You hear that said sometimes. And what happened? I'm going to wrap it up with this. He ran down the mountainside, ran ahead of Ahab's chariot. I'm going to say, win the race with Ahab. What does that mean, spiritually speaking? Ahab represents the world, represents the flesh. And it could represent your unbelief. But Elijah outran Ahab's chariot 30 miles down the mountain when the Holy Ghost was upon him. It says that the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, the last verse in chapter 18. And he'd taken up his cloak into his belt. He ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And I'm telling you, church, I really believe that this is going to be a picture of the church, because we've been surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. That's all the great men and women of the Bible. You know, we're going to run this race. We're going to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to put a couple verses of scripture up on the screen that I want us to declare together. And then I've asked the worship team to sing that song again. There's honey in the rock, because the passage of scripture in Psalms that this is referring to, in Psalms 81, it's very clear, saying, if my people would but listen to me. I'm saying, God, let us hear the sound of your voice. If you just follow my ways, let us rebuild the altar. I'm going to lay hands on some of you that just, you're in a situation, you just need to hear the sound. You know, maybe you haven't seen a cloud in the sky, but you need some indication. You need to see the fingerprints of God on your life somewhere. And I'm going to stand with you. Here's the psalm I want you to declare with me. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. David says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." I'm showing you what to emphasize, and we're all going to say it together. "And I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. It's in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. That means think about that. Meditate on that a little bit. Now let's declare it out loud and let me hear your voice. Read it with me. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. There's honey in the rock. God says, "I'll subdue your enemies. I'll win your battles. If you'll hear me, listen for me."
There's honey in the rock.
Hallelujah.